In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Yay!
Wow, this is wonderful. This is incredible. This is so exciting. This is so interesting. What are we about to do? We are about to embark on a conversation, and that conversation really, in and of itself, means nothing. What can a conversation accomplish? Why are you here? What's the benefit of getting together and chatting about something that's interesting? Well, in that interest, you remain in a receptive state. And in that receptive state, you receive ideas and thoughts. And in this perspective-changing conversation, you view yourself from a little bit higher perspective so that when you finally understand that you're always receiving inspiration, you can say, why not? Why not? That's an idea. Why not? That's for me. Why not? Why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I have fun? Why wouldn't I take this opportunity? Why wouldn't I take this chance? Why wouldn't I accept this invitation? Why not? If it comes to me as a being of love that I am, as a limitless being of love that I am, then everything that comes to me must be based in love. Because as a being of love, you attract love. Everything that comes to you is based in love because you're a being of love. Now, can you be a being of fear and attract fear? Someone asked us this today. Can you be a being of fear and attract fear? No,
yes.
You cannot.
No.
You cannot be a being of fear. You can temporarily perceive that something is scary out there and you can react to some condition in fear, but you are a being of love. You're not a being of fear. You are living your life perceiving that things are either going well or going badly, poorly. If things are going well, then you're feeling good. You think everything's working out. You agree with your inner self. But if things are going poorly, that's based on your limited perspective. It's based on your perception. And the only way you could think that anything's going poorly is if you have a limiting belief. And something in your conditions triggered that limiting belief. When the limiting belief is triggered, you feel fear. It doesn't mean you're a being of fear. It means that in this moment, something in your environment, something in reality, has caused you to think that things aren't going well. It's triggered some limiting belief about yourself, about your place in the world, about other people, what have you. That's all that the fear is. The fear is nothing more than an indication of a limiting belief. So if you approach life as if you're a victim to fate, then you are approaching life from a perspective that is very limiting. And in that limited perspective, things are going to seem scarier than if you approach life as a conscious creator of your reality. Does that make sense? If you approach life as a conscious creator, when something happens, you ask, how is it for me? And in the asking of that question, you immediately raise your perspective because only a creator could ever ask that question. A victim could never ask that question. A victim asks the question, why is this happening to me? A creator asks the question, how is this of benefit to me? Why is this for me? Why is this here? Why is it showing up now? Those are empowering questions the creators ask. The ones who are holding on to the belief that they are a victim of fate are the ones who are perceiving conditions to be more fearful or fear-based or scary, but they're not understanding what is actually happening there. They aren't realizing that the conditions came forth just for the sole purpose of letting them know that they have a limiting belief. They attracted the condition not because they are based in fear, but they have a desire. And that desire for it to manifest in the reality has to be in the vibrational range. They have to be in the vibrational range of that desire. And in order to do that, they have to change. And in order to change, their set of beliefs have to change. And the intensity of those beliefs have to change. The beneficial beliefs will increase in their intensity, while the limiting beliefs will be reduced in their intensity. And as that change takes place, they become a match to their desire. Now, if they hold on rigorously to their limiting beliefs, believing that their limiting beliefs are true, are fact, then the changes that will have to come about will be coming in more and more intense manifestation events until they get the point, or give up the desire. Well, they're never going to give up the desire, but they may hold on forever to those limiting beliefs, and the manifestation events will seem intense. Now, if you realize that the only reason the manifestation event is here is to help you uncover a limiting belief, then you can simply uncover that limiting belief, look at it, prove it's false, prove it's not true for you, prove it was absorbed at an earlier time in your life when you knew less than you know now, and you can find evidence to show that it's false. In doing that, you automatically reduce the intensity of that limiting belief. And so the manifestation event now can be seen as a teacher, as a tool, as a bridge, as a pathway to your desire, rather than something bad happening to you. So with that, nothing bad can happen to you. Nothing bad can happen to you. It's always, 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 always your perspective, your perception based on where you are at the time. And no matter how bad something seems, it only seems bad. But it's not. The reality is everything that comes to you is based in love. And in the nugget of that is everything you need to walk along your path to explore everything you came here to explore for the brief amount of time that you're here. So you can experience fear and not worry that it's attracting more fear. Just realize that the fear is not necessary. That if you establish it's an irrational fear, it's always false. And therefore, there's nothing really to fear. Wow, that was remarkable. That was intense. That was something new, a different way that we've ever explained it before. Now, to you who are living life in physical reality, was any of that believable whatsoever?
Yes.
It was believable. Excellent. So, in your experience, Isabel, can you look at things from a higher perspective now and feel less fear than you might have at another time in your life?
Yes. In fact, I'm going through a manifestation event right now.
Okay, can we talk about that and describe what's happening?
Yes. So yesterday morning by my sofa, I got cut by a broken glass. There was broken glass by the sofa, and it sliced two parts of my on each foot. And I got mad, and I said, who doesn't pick up a broken glass, right?
Right. So when you feel fear, the first thing you want to do is change the conditions in them.
Yes.
And the urge that you got was to blame someone for something happening to you as a victim.
Yes. Yep. Pretty funny. It gets even more funny. So I go upstairs, and now my daughter wants to go to the beach. And I really don't want to go to the beach because it's long and it's really hot and it's not my favorite thing to do. But she really wants to go with her friends. And so I denied what I was feeling and I said, well, let me go get ready. And so I took a shower and I step out of the shower and I like couldn't walk, completely threw out my back, crawled into bed in pain. And that was it. I was out, like out for the whole day. And I have to say, I laughed hysterically because this was over a messy house and not going to the beach. This manifestation event. And I knew it was fear and I knew I had limiting beliefs, but,
okay. So let's start off with the glass.
Yes.
Now the fear here, when you step on the glass is what?
You know, right afterwards that I said, who left the broken glass? I said, this house is so messy. And I was upset with the condition of my house being really messy and feeling like I had to clean it.
Mm-hmm. And can you identify a limiting belief?
That I had to, one, who cares if I have a messy house? Two, I've lived in many dwellings throughout my whole existence, incarnating, not incarnating. Again, who cares? Three, why does it have to be up to me to clean the house? Four, there could be another solution. And five, which I think is kind of underneath the surface, is that I am sensing that this house no longer suits me. And I think that is probably way more scarier than the messy house.
Well, that the conditions are not serving you, and yet you're holding on to the conditions.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what is the fear of leaving the house?
Well, I finally realized I was always thinking of the other people in my life and not necessarily what I want.
How were you thinking of the other people?
Well, what would be easiest for them? It would be much easier if I stayed in the house, if I transitioned slowly, which can still all be very true. Maybe I'm not ready. Maybe I need more time. And be honest that I need more time instead of like trying to make a decision. You know, maybe I do need more time. And now I understand that I do want to be with my daughter full time and I don't want to be rushed, you know? So like it's curious, Joshua, that I go through like this angry acceptance, peace, calm. I go through like all these emotions and it's pretty cool.
What is the desire that is bringing you, pointing out your limiting beliefs?
I think I sense a new chapter and I sense a new...
Well, what's the desire? What do you want?
What do I want? I want to create. I'm not sure what I want to create yet, though, but I want to create.
Why? What is causing you to not create? What is a limiting belief?
Well, okay, so that's interesting. So I feel like I'm creating. Am I really not creating? Like,
of course you're creating. What
exactly
is it that you think
so
you should be creating?
What should I be creating?
What is it? If you're a creator and you want to be creating, what is it you think you should be creating?
A school.
Okay. So why do you want to create a school?
To explore, to be immersed in the subject.
So, do you want to be a teacher?
One aspect of it, yeah.
well, do you want to be an administrator?
A little bit, yes.
Do you want to be a student?
I think you're always a student in life.
Do you want?
So yes, but I would take classes of other teachers.
How would the school make you feel?
Exhilarated.
And how do you feel now?
Peaceful and calm.
Okay. And why do you want to feel exhilarated?
Because that's what I came here for.
Okay. And why don't you feel exhilarated now?
I feel like I'm preparing for a journey, okay. And I'm not quite ready to depart.
Okay. So what's wrong with feeling exhilarated now?
There is no reason not to feel exhilarated.
Why aren't you feeling exhilarated now?
I think I do have moments of exhilaration.
Okay. And can you feel exhilarated now? Can you feel exhilarated in a trip to the beach with your daughter, in cleaning the house, in thinking about your life as it is right now without anything having to change?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So if you can get to that feeling of exhilaration and everything's right now in this house right now, then you won't be in this flux of transition where maybe it's not the right time. Maybe I should be doing something more than I'm doing. Maybe things should be happening faster than they are. Maybe I can't love what I have now, because in the loving what I have now, I'll never leave. I'll always stay here. That idea of controlling the conditions so that you can get what you want, so that you can get forced out of the house or told that they love you or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So everything you want is for the acceptance of what exists right now, even though you want something different than that, right? You accept the house as it is now. You accept everyone in the house as they are now. You accept yourself as you are now. You appreciate everything you have now. You appreciate your job you have now. You appreciate the people in the job you have now. You appreciate the work you're doing now. You appreciate yourself as a creator with what you are creating right now. And you don't worry about what's going to happen. You let it happen. But in order to get what you want, you have to be different than you are. In order to be different than you are, you have to be open to the idea that everything is perfect now, including yourself. And then not worry about it. Give it up. Enjoy as much as you can right now. Be exhilarated as much of the time as you can right now. And if you can get into that state of non-resistance, of allowing, then things will unfold magically. But in this idea that you are in flux, should you be leaving? Should you be staying?
Mm-hmm.
Should you be giving all of your love freely? Should you be being different than who you are because you might be leaving and you don't want to hurt them? Should you be staying because you don't want to hurt them? Should you be leaving quickly because that would be easier? These ideas. The idea here is to exist in what is happening right now, rather than to think that things should be different than they are. The tendency is to think that if things were different than they are now, then I would feel different.
Mm-hmm.
But that's never going to be the case. In the pure acceptance of what is now, you learn to feel better in that condition now. And feeling exhilarated in this condition, feeling love in this condition, feeling as a creator in this condition, that will just open up the pathway to whatever is to happen. But we urge you not to think too much about what you think should happen.
Okay.
But actually what is happening in this moment. Because everything you are here to explore is happening in this moment. And until you've explored this, what's happening in this moment, this dynamic that you're living through right now has never happened before for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that this dynamic is happening now. And a lot of times you will say to yourself, times are good and I enjoy being here now. And a lot of times you'll say, times are bad and I'm looking forward to when times are good again. rather than saying, this moment exists right now, it is what it is, and it's here for me for a purpose. And instead of waiting until things change, I'm going to lean in full force to what is happening now. And I'm going to be the being of love that I am in this condition right now. And then see what happens. Rather than saying to yourself, I'm going to be the being of love that I am now, but if I'm a being of love now, then I might get stuck here. Because I might really appreciate it and love it. And I might really be grateful for it and love it. And I might really be happy and loving with the people who are here now. And it'll make things harder to change when they change. Right? That's the old approach to life. That's total control.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, this is what it is. Let's embrace this right now. Let's just get deep into it right now. Let's not think about Christmas. Let's just think about right now. If I get invited to the beach, let's not worry about how much I don't like the beach. That's an invitation for me right now. Let's go with it and see what happens in a state of curiosity. If I get invited to a friend's house, let's go with it in the state of curiosity. If I get tasked with something to do at work, let's see what that's all about in curiosity. Rather than saying, this should be different than it is, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I want to do this. Let's see how much you can embrace right now. Let's change your set of beliefs right now so that you can become a vibrational match to what you truly want. Who knows what that is, but it's going to be something awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, staying in the moment.
In a moment's all you have. You tend to think that you can wait out this moment because future moments are going to be better. But then you're just basically wasting that moment, right? This moment now. This moment is here for a reason. This moment is here to help you move towards that which you want. You are becoming a new person. This moment is part of that process. No matter what the moment is, this moment is part of the process. This moment that you're all on here, whether you're listening at home or talking this conversation, it's part of the process. Embracing this moment and not saying, oh, that doesn't apply to me. That's for Isabel, not for me. I understand what I should be doing. That's not what I'm doing. Every word that's being said here is part of the process of everyone's expansion to that which they truly desire. Otherwise, you couldn't be here. It'd be impossible. You couldn't be in this moment. This condition could not happen for you. So this conversation is happening for all those who are listening, all those who are participating, and all those who will ever listen. If you got here, you're a vibrational match to here because there's something here for you so that you can become a vibrational match to everything that you want. This is part of the process. The arguments are part of the process. The manifestation events are part of the process. The stepping on glass is part of the process. The hurting the back out of the shower is part of the process. It's all part of this process of moving forward. And you either resist it in the moment or you learn to look at it from a higher perspective and say, I'm not going to take this complaining and lying down and ignoring. I'm going to seek the information contained in this event. If you can do that, you've unlocked the key to the universe right there. If you can do that, you've radically altered your approach to life. If you can do that, your perspective has risen so high that you're in another level of experience in this reality. You're experiencing actually what you came here to experiencing. You're truly exploring reality. There's nothing, nothing, nothing more empowering than that approach to life. So we congratulate you for having the presence of mind to understand that there's more going on here.
Yes, and for, you know, just on a personal level, going through this is actually, I'm kind of in joy, you know, like, yes, I'm in pain, but I have to tell you, I'm excited for this manifestation event. I'm excited that I got mad. I'm excited that this uncovered. I'm fascinated how fast I went down, you know, from like, like, I haven't been angry in such a long time that so for anger to even bubble up in me was curious in itself, too, you know?
And well, remember that your beliefs are modulating as well. Mm-hmm. And so a month ago, that same thing might have happened, but it wouldn't have affected you the same way. That's why it happened this way. Mm-hmm. That's why everything happened this way, so that it would be intense, so that you could see it. And the fact that you recovered so quickly, too, is something to be aware of, to congratulate yourself for, to realize that you're seeing things from higher perspectives. That you're actually, it's a indication of the universe that, that Isabel is consciously aware of the emotions that are coming to her and why they're coming. And that now she's ready for more things to happen. She's ready for the change to take place.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, yes. That's what I sense. Yes.
Very good.
Yes. So it is exciting getting hurt. Whatever. Like you said, it's part of the process.
It's expansion in joy. And joy doesn't mean warm fuzzies all the time. Joy can be interest, curiosity. You know, realizing that you've grown and that you're looking at things differently now. That can bring joy and relief. Excellent.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you so much. Who's next?
What you're talking about right there is something that I've been understanding at a deeper level lately, the idea of joy, and that it's not always the warm fuzzies like you're saying. That I was, when you were saying that, Isabel, about like being hurt, seeing how it can be fun, I've been finding more and more myself enjoying situations that are sometimes really uncomfortable because of my interest and my curiosity. Those are good words, like, that made it clearer in my mind what it is about these situations. Like, there's people that I love deeply have come to, I mean, because I accept them so purely and they're in my life and they're playing these different roles and I'm spending lots of time with them. And I have one person that I've spoken to about it that doesn't understand why I, you know, is it of the mindset that, like, these are people that should be cut out for whatever reason, you know? Or, like, well, if you're not having fun, why do you do it? I'm like, it's a different kind of fun. Huh? So it's just an interesting idea.
Isn't it interesting that the word challenge, without the word challenge, there's no fun in any game.
Yeah.
Right? And so when people are, when you can see them as not distasteful or inappropriate, but challenging, well, then you just add fun to the whole idea of it. And also when you realize that they're a reflection back of a certain aspect of you that nobody else could reflect back to you, then you see their importance in your life. And to cut them out is just saying, I don't like this teacher anymore. I don't like this class anymore. I can't handle this anymore. This challenge is too much for me. And that's all right, too.
What I've seen is that the when I do the cutting out, it shows up again in some other form.
Doesn't it have to? Yeah. And if the person's there to help you see how you're being, in order for you to take notice of the times when you're being obstinate or resistant, well then, if you still have your desire, and if you still are becoming, in the process of becoming a vibrational master your desire, then these people will need to show up until you get the message.
So, can you speak to me about, I mean, this has helped me immensely, this whole idea of seeing, like you're saying, the challenges as fun. I still find myself waking up, you know, I get all of this, I know all of this, I'm excited, I'm exhilarated to be here, and then still, it feels like out of the blue, but maybe it's not. I'll wake up one day, and it's like, have these feelings that are familiar of just like, not wanting to be here, you know, just like this overwhelming weight. And so there was this day like that last week, out of nowhere, it felt like, and the boys were here. And so it felt all day like I didn't get to a joy place where I identified it as joy, but I sort of saw what I was doing, like seeing it as a challenge and just like finding every opportunity I could feel grateful, like finding every reason I could to be here. And it was rewarding, but it didn't feel good. I want to learn how to feel good in that. I guess it did end up feeling good. There was this moment with my oldest where I realized that like a lot of what it had to do with was this fear that I just wouldn't be able to do all of these things that like I've grown to become a match to that are showing up in my reality. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes the challenge gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
Because you think it's important. And you're attached to it. So release your attachments and realize nothing important is going on here, even when it seems like it's critical.
Right.
Yeah. Even when it seems like, well, everyone else on earth thinks it's super important. How can I not think it's super important? And you realize that it's just a blip. You don't know what's happening tomorrow. You don't know what's happening tomorrow. Everything's working out anyway. And you don't have to get so intensely focused on the outcomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And play, I've been finding, like, my children are a beautiful reminder of that, you know? So that's one thing that snaps me back in, is, like, forcing myself to play or see things, even scary things, as play. But so that day ended up, like, the boys and I got to a movie, and then we went out to the lake, and they gave me space. And so I was able to just, like, sit and, you know, realign myself. And then eventually my oldest came over and asked me, when I was just, like, sitting there in fear, if I thought he could swim out to this wall that was, like, a ways out in the lake, if he could make it there and back. And I was like, oh, I think you could try. And it ended up being this 45-minute-long thing where I just, because I was so inside myself, like, I gave him space, didn't push him and didn't try to dissuade him. I just, he eventually made his own decision, but he would just ask me a question every once in a while, like, well, do you think there are piranhas? And I was like, it's probably not likely, you know, like of all the things that's probably not, wouldn't be high on my list of concerns. And then he was like, well, what if I drown? I was like, well, I'm here. I could come in and get you, you know? And eventually he was like, I'm going to do it. I was like, great. Okay. I'm watching. And he said, I'm scared. And so this is something else that I realized when I'm telling my kids something a lot, that it's really advice for me. But I was like, well, anytime you want to do something, there's going to be fear that comes up, you know, like my friends have told me, thank you, Joshua. But if you want it badly enough, you just push through it and you just do it, you know, but if it's not that important to you, you don't have to, you can just decide to not do it. So he ended up doing it, and he made it all the way there. And there was this moment where he got to the wall, and he like, turned around and just panicked. It was like, there's no way I can make it back. But he did. So it was a good lesson for me. So I guess it did it. I did end up, I felt a lot of real what I would identify as joy in that moment, like when he came back, when he got back to the shore. So, but how do I find joy in the moment in the morning when I wake up and I feel that way? That's what I want to know.
Think of that moment.
Yeah, okay.
How could you not feel joy thinking of that moment? Here you are being conscious. You're not being dissuaded by fear. You're allowing him to act on his inspiration to swim out to the wall. He had the inspiration to do it. He had fear. You talked him through the fear. And you didn't have an attachment to any outcome or how you should be or how you should be perceived or what would happen if something happened. It all worked out. And it gave him confidence to do more things like this in the future. And it gave you confidence to do more things like this in the future. And that is a moment of pure joy. This is what the experience of life is all about, is helping each other process these times of fear. That's what you're here for. That's what you truly came for. This is what you truly want. All the things you think you want to feel good, this is what you can actually use to feel good. And so you can think about this over and over again. This moment in his life where you were there to support him, there's no more powerful thing in physical reality than that. That moment. So if you have a life full of moments like that, that's all you ever need. That's all you ever wanted. That's what you truly wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so sure, you'll feel fear and look at the time when it came up too, and the time when you were overwhelmed and you were still able to do what you know was the whole process of manifestation. There. Mm-hmm. You were able to keep your wits about you even when you were overwhelmed. And you can always do that. You can always do that. But you can also do things to reduce your own stress. You can always do that. Because all of your stress is self-imposed. Because you're taking things a little too seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why are you taking things so seriously?
I guess probably because what you said before, like, I'm unconsciously thinking that it means something about me.
Yeah. Well, that's the life you came to live, right? You get saddled with limiting beliefs, and then you process those limiting beliefs. And as you process one after another, your life changes, and you get signs that now you're a different person, that you have a different set of beliefs, that you're willing to look at them and willing to realize that they were never true, that you just believed them for a little while, and that's all. And so your life, when you had all these limiting beliefs, was one way, and your life where you have fewer and fewer limiting beliefs is gradually becoming bigger, bolder, and brighter.
Yeah.
That's the truth of it. And in the awareness of these teachings, you are understanding yourself to be more magical, more magnificent, more limitless than you had thought of yourself before. But just in the process of aging, you do that. Anyway, just in the experience of life and the expansion of life, that happens. Just as you go through experiences like the one you just described, you have more confidence. And in that, in those experiences, you see yourself from a higher perspective. Wow, I was able to do that. Wow, I was able to keep my composure. Wow, I was able to process my fear. The next time fear comes up, I did it once, I can do it again. I am a limitless, magnificent being of pure positive love and acceptance. I am magnificent. I am worthy. I am unique. I am here to experience life in a way that nobody else ever can and ever will. This is a unique experience of life that has never happened before. And I intend to experience life as Kyla more fully because no one else is ever going to experience this life as Kyla.
Yeah.
Never, yeah. And when you're ready to transition to the non-physical, you'll transition. Until then, go with the flow. See what happens. See how far you can take it. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else brings you fear?
The same thing that I've been talking about for 2 years, the idea of responsibility. I feel like I'm doing that. I'm like, trust me, I'm having the fullest life experience of Kyla lately, especially. And then there are these like practical life things that I would put under the category of responsibilities that it's like, it seems foreign to me. It seems unnecessary to me. I just have very little desire, I don't know, to play these games.
Name one game. Name one game you don't have a desire to play.
Paying attention to bills.
You totally have the desire to do that. You would love to be the person that had everything taken care of, that paid every bill, that had no issue with any of that stuff.
I would love to be the person that has someone to take care of that for me. And I've become aware of that desire in mind, and I've become aware also that I am the person to take care of that for me.
Yes. You are resisting that aspect of you. That's all that it is. But you would love to be the person that was organized, responsible, had all the money flowing in. That is something you aspire to. And because you feel negative emotion about those things, you are just avoiding them. That's all. You can avoid anything you want to avoid. You're avoiding the fear around that, the fear of it. And so an easy thing to do is to hope for the person that comes along that can provide that for you. And that's how people get into unhappy marriages. This person's going to solve my problem. That's how people get crappy employees. This person is going to be everything that I cannot be. This person is going to make me whole. This is an aspect of my personality that is lacking, and if I can get someone else to do it, then I won't have to worry about it. Well, that's absolutely not true. This is an absolute fundamental aspect of your beingness. And when you can wrap your head around the how much this will impact your life, if you can dive into it. Because until you dive into this part of your life, you're never going to get to the next level anyway. And these bills will always start to become a thing where you just wish you could avoid them, wish you could avoid them, wish you had the money for them, wish you liked them, wish you could file, wish you could do be more organized, that sort of thing. Yeah. So it's a control mechanism to hope that someone comes along to take care of it for you.
I know you're right, because I feel like I want to throw up. And, like, I also couldn't – and I'm aware that I was couldn't hear all of that fully, so I'll have to go back and listen to it. I know – Okay, here's how I, like, LOA rationalized it in my head was thinking, oh, I just don't have the desire to do – you know, I find these other things more fun and interesting. So that's something that, like, leave it to somebody who does find it fun and interesting to pay bills. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah. When you get a bill in the mail, do you feel joy, fear, or ambivalence? Ambivalence, we should say, that's sort of a negative word. Let's say no big deal. Like, doesn't mean anything. Joy, like, this is great. I get a bill. I get to file it. I get to put it away. I get to pay it. I get to pay it on time. It's gonna make my credit better. Do you feel, just another thing? I'll take care of it on Monday. On Monday, I do all the bills. Or do you think, oh, shit, a bill. A bill just came in. Oh, shit.
It probably depends on my mindset the day that I get the bill. But, I mean, generally speaking, it's rarely that level of joy. I try to, like, eke out a thank you when I'm paying them. You know, but that's – I also have seen patterns that have surfaced here that I – in others come up in other areas where I put something out to the point that it becomes really painful. And then, like, then when I am paying it or taking care or resolving it, then I feel great joy and relief, you know, but I put myself all through this
because
pain first.
You pain, right. pain, avoid, right. avoid, pain, avoid. Oh, relief. It's done. Finally. Right. And then the bill comes again the next month. It's the whole story over again. Yeah.
Right.
When you, if you can make this into at least a non-event where you maybe incorporate a little system, a little appreciation when it comes in, a little deadline for it to go out, a little idea of it that you're powerful and you can handle this and it's not a big deal and it's not stressful and all the stress itself. Impose, and there's nothing wrong with paying it late, and there's nothing wrong with paying it on time, and there is no wrong, and it doesn't matter, and it's not going to affect you, and the fear that you feel is simply the fear that everyone feels.
Mm.
Right? And that everyone has the same thing. That everyone has the same thing. It was not about bills. It's about relationship. It's about spirituality. It's about their health. It's about their sexuality. It's about the way their hair looks. It's about something. Right? Everyone has the same thing. Don't avoid it. Accept it.
Yeah.
Accept it.
That makes sense.
I'd say, when I am able to accept this, I will leap into my responsible persona or responsible aspect of myself. Because who you really are, your authentic self, has no problem with bills, has no fear of bills. Appreciates what the bills represent, you know.
Right.
Who you really are is not putting things off and not worrying about it, not thinking about it. That's just a fear based on a limiting belief. And that limiting belief, whatever it is, and you can analyze that for yourself, whatever that limiting belief is complete bullshit, and it's preventing you from being who you want to be. So look at the limiting belief, don't look at the bill. Don't look at someone to solve your problem, to change the conditions. Look at this belief about yourself or the world or whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah. And you're already way ahead of where you were.
Yeah,
absolutely. Excellent. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Who's next?
This is Drew.
Hi, Drew.
Hi there. I have a question regarding what's going on.
Drew, how do you feel about bills?
How do I feel about what?
Bills.
Oh, well, they're just something that gets handled.
Excellent. Okay, so what about the planet?
I went all the tough times a long time ago.
Yep.
Building a business, no money coming in. Yeah, I was there, but I'm not there right now. Okay. Well, what I want to ask about is Joshua to tell me an understanding of what's going on in the world. And it's when I'm around people, I find that they spend most of their time talking about things that they're unhappy with, whether it's the news, politics, conditions.
Okay, so they feel fear. They express their fear, and they're hoping that someone will say it's not so bad. They're looking for a way to ease their fear. And they believe that by talking about what they fear, they're going to feel better about it. That's the old approach to life. It's a approach of control. They're trying to control their fear by hearing other people say something that will make them feel something. They want to feel different, and so they're looking for the outside conditions to make them feel different, so that's why they talk about it.
Yep. So are there things that are occurring in the world now that are any more than what has occurred throughout history? Or is it just
there's no dinosaurs? You don't have to worry about dinosaurs.
Okay.
You have a lot more food. You don't have to worry about starving. You live indoors. You have air conditioning. You have internet. You have entertainment. You have comfy furniture. You have a variety of food from all over the world. You have the option to travel. You have everything you need at your fingertips. You live more opulently than kings and queens just 60 years ago. How many kings and queens 60 years ago had a cell phone, had internet, had TV, color TV, had the variety of entertainment that you have, had the ability to travel like you have? You can travel. So this is an environment of expansion. The law of expansion says that everything gets more. So from your perspective, all the good things are better and better and better. Every single day there's something new that's better and better and better and better and better. The wealth is increased. But so is poverty. The actual poverty itself is actually not as bad as it was, but the comparative poverty is more intense. And the ability for people to look and say, well, these people are living so much better than I'm living, right? No matter where you are, you can do that. You could do that if you lived in America. You could still say that, believe it or not, right? But so you have access to more information, and so in that access, you see more things, right? And so you tend to see the very outer limits of the good and the bad. And this is a bell curve. So in the middle, everything's really good. Nothing bad is happening. In the middle, the vast majority of humans are living a magnificent experience of life. And on the outer edges, some are experiencing amazing things. Lady Gaga is experiencing an amazing life. And some are experiencing very limited, fearful lives. But when you understand it's a choice, you can choose to move towards an expanded experience of your life, or you can move towards a more limited experience of your life. But you're always making a choice. Now, some of the very limited livers of life don't perceive that they have a choice. And those who are living the expanded version of life really understand that they are the creator of the reality, that they are really driving their life experience. Mostly they think they're doing it by controlling the environment. But generally, they believe that it's up to them to do it, right? And those who are living very limited experiences generally believe that the conditions are forced upon them and that they have no choice in the matter. But the reality of this reality is that everyone is a creator, and everyone is completely in charge of the creation of their life. And some are saddled with more limiting beliefs than others. That's just how it is. That's what they chose to experience when they came in here. And everyone's on the exploration of life. So, yes, there are things that you do not prefer and consider wrong. And you have more access to that information. And you can focus on it. That's your choice. And if it's fun to focus on things that you think are bad, go right ahead. Or you can focus on what you appreciate and what you enjoy and what is stimulating to you. That's your choice. And you can help guide conversations if you choose to. You can start changing the conversation. Start talking about things that are interesting. There's so many wildly interesting innovations just in technology that you can talk about those things. You can talk about how good things are getting for everybody, or how good things are getting for you, or what you personally prefer. And as you talk about those things, you start to perceive your environment in a way that is aligned with what you want and who you want to be and how you want to live in this reality. And then more of that stuff comes in. And more people in your life will start talking about the good things. But if you perceive that it's wrong to talk about what's going wrong, well, then more people are going to talk about what's going wrong because you're going to attract that. If you think it's them just feeling fear and this is how they think the best way to deal with their fear is, then you could say, oh, well, that's just natural. That's just people who are not aware of what you're aware of, who don't understand this information, are going to naturally think that controlling the conditions is the best thing. And this is just another way for them to control conditions. No, nothing wrong with it, nothing horrible about it. It's just their way of doing it. They don't know any better. But you know better, and so you can help guide the conversations to things that are fun and interesting and enjoyable, like the cruise you were on last time, like what you're doing for fun, things like that, what you're interested in right now, what books you're reading right now, how cool things are right now.
Okay, what I'm hearing basically is I have a choice when I'm around people who are doing this, and I mostly just allow them and listen because I feel that if I say anything, they want to tell me that I'm incorrect in what I'm viewing.
Okay, so let's have a conversation here. Let's say that you're with a friend, and their friend says, "Can you believe that this is happening?" What's something that they might talk about?
Oh, one of the biggest things is what's happening in the political arena.
Right. And you believe this is happening? Can you believe that the politicians are doing this and this and this? And what can you say then? What could you say that's not so negative?
I guess that's why I asked the question, is because I really don't know what to say.
Well, what is something positive you could say? You could say, we still have our roads. We still have the power. We still have local government seems to be doing a really good job. We still have all the schools. We still have police. There's lower crime than there's ever been. It seems like the economy is doing really good. It seems like things are actually better than they've been, you know, ever. Things seem to be going pretty good. Yeah, things are funny at the top, but it's going to be over. Things will pass, and then we'll get someone else, and there'll be problems there, too, and there'll be things to complain about them, too. But right now, really, things are going pretty well around us, don't you think? And I'll have to say, well, this and this and this. You know, look at how easy it is to drive on our roads. You know, have you ever thought about how they made enough roads for all these people, and they have traffic lights, and things are the roads are maintained. We don't have to even worry about it. And then you'll see they'll complain about this and complain about this and complain about this, and eventually they'll stop complaining. They'll stop acknowledging that, yeah, nothing's so bad, and they'll start to realize that how come I'm complaining and how come Drew keeps looking at the positive side of things? And really look at Drew's life. Look at what she's accomplished. This is how you are an inspiration of alignment, an inspiration to others, an example of alignment. By saying, yes, you can complain, that's fine, but I'm going to look at the broader picture here. I'm going to look at the things that are working, the things that are going well, and let's just see what happens. And yes, they might be negative for a while, but they'll either come around or they'll leave the conversation. And are you worried about them leaving the conversation? I mean, if they're talking about things that are bad and wrong, who wants to have that conversation?
That's the whole thing, is I'm around and listening to it, and I wish I could change the conversation. I will take a look at doing that. And I just was wondering if it's just okay to just allow them and listen and
absolutely not... okay to allow them. You don't want to convince them or change their minds or anything else, but you can steer the conversation in a way that is more positive. Why not? There's nothing wrong with them complaining. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's what they're attracting in their life. You don't have to agree with them, you don't have to oppose them, and you don't have to change them. But why not have fun and interject a little levity in these conversations?
Like we don't have dinosaurs anymore?
Yeah, we don't have to worry about dinosaurs. That's right.
I like that. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Excellent.
I get it.
Very good. Who else would like to talk?
I do. This is Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hi. I was curious about the idea of prayer and mantras. And I wanted to ask the question about mantras in the past, but it became I was really thinking about it because of something that's happening to someone in the Friends of Joshua community. And it seems really serious, and it seems for me. But then I really thought about prayer and what it's for, because it's been in other communities that I'm a part of, there's this feeling or this belief that if we come together and we say mantras and we really focus, that it could cause something to change. And I just have never really believed in that. And then also, if we can't create in each other's reality and everything is happening for people, I mean, what's the point of it other than asking for what you want?
Everything that's happening is happening for you personally in your reality. If it makes you happy and relieved and feels like you're contributing to pray for someone else, then that's a wonderful thing. If it's making you feel better, that's a wonderful thing.
Well, I mean, it seems like prayer is attached to some outcome. Like I'll say this prayer so that you get better, or mm-hmm. I'll say this prayer so that there's this beneficial outcome.
Okay. That's true. That sounds like you're only doing it for the attachment to whatever the outcome is. And if the outcome doesn't happen, then they'll seem as if it's a waste of time, right? But what if you took into this idea that you're contributing to the mass consciousness of those involved in this situation, and the person themselves and the family and the friends, and everyone's working together to think these happy, loving, wonderful thoughts that are going to mm-hmm. bring about an environment of peace and love. In an environment of pure peace and love, where everything is working as it should, where everything is working out as it should, then whatever happens is happening for as it should. And you can know that for sure. So that if things change, however that change is for the best. Right? If you're creating this environment of love, but it's all happening in you. Okay? But there's more going on in you than you can imagine, because you are a receiver and transmitter of thought. So your thoughts have energy, And as you bring out the thoughts of love and create a love energy, you simultaneously remove some or reduce the intensity of some thoughts of fear. And that's a highly beneficial thing. Because in an environment of fear, you cut off this power of the universe to an extent, right? It doesn't feel good. You're worried about what's going to happen. You're unsure of how things are going to turn out. And you don't have this access to the energy of healing, of support, of inspiration, of inspiring ideas. You get caught up in wanting to change conditions. If you could wave a magic wand and change the conditions, you would. Well, no event happens because it's an accident, right? Everything happens because it's a benefit to whoever is going through it, to whatever extent they're going through it. And you would never want to change anything. You want the experience that's meant to be. Now, if you're in fear, obviously you're going to want to change the conditions. That's completely understandable. In love and joy and acceptance, you understand that everything is going to work out as it should. And that there is no need for fear right now because you don't know how it's going to turn out. You assume that it's going to turn out bad, and you wish it would never happen, so you wouldn't have to be in this manifestation of it. But you all know that as things progress, as things move forward, from hindsight, you can see what the purpose was. In the moment, in fear, it's hard to see. But in hindsight. So the creation of this bubble of love and this idea that you're all working towards the resolution of whatever the manifestation event is, that in elevating everyone's feelings so that everyone is feeling calm and relaxed and easy about how things are going, you access universal energy and the inspiring ideas that will come to you rather than turning them off or rather than restricting them at some point. Yeah. So pray or meditate or send love or send physical objects or make phone calls or do whatever that makes you feel good, that makes you feel like you're contributing to the beneficial outcome at some point. And understanding that whatever outcome happens, happens for a reason. Because you would not want to rob anyone of their experience.
No, I understand that too. I think prayer for me, the word I'm going to pray, or the words or the statement I'm going to pray for you, or I'm praying for you, has like a negative connotation to me because I feel like it, well, this is my judgment. So it's superficial.
Yeah, so instead of saying pray, because that is not a beneficial belief for you. Instead of saying pray, saying, I am sending you thoughts of love. I'm sending mm-hmm. you wishes of good health. I'm sending you the benefit of my love. I am letting you know that I am exuding love for you.
Okay. So if you have a group of people who are meditating on love and who are meditating on peace and they're coming together and they're doing whatever they're doing together, and they're sending these thoughts of love and peace and harmony to maybe another group of people who are feeling fear, that affects the consciousness of those people who are feeling fear?
It affects the group consciousness. It affects, we will say this.
The whole group, all the group, the fear and the ones in love, or just the ones in love?
Well, certainly the ones in love more.
Yeah.
Right. But it's creating this environment where the availability of inspiring thoughts are present. And this intention, it's like setting an intention, right? And the intention is, now, you have to realize that you are playing a part in this manifestation event of anyone mm-hmm. that you're in contact with. But yeah. But essentially, this is your universe. So everything's happening for you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how you are interacting in this situation, how you are feeling about it, the fear that you're going through, the way that you want to contribute to the outcome, all these things are happening for you. Now, whether or not things turn out as you wish they would is irrelevant because mm-hmm. you can't create the life of someone else. but your part in this and how you see yourself in this event, in this reality, in your life is what is for you. In this surging or coming together with this group, and whether you're doing it individually or actually holding hands physically, there is a charge that goes out in the universe, in this bubble, collective bubble. And you can see this happening in lots of different groups. Okay. So we've talked before about the shooting in the club in Orlando. And so there's a community there. And the aftermath of that was this love in this community, okay, from people inside and outside the community, from the whole world. And did it affect the victims? Well, that's not the point of it. The point is to bring about this other idea of love through everyone who's paying attention to it. And that's what you're doing in this. And so, yes, you sort of think that if I do this, it'll affect some outcome, but that outcome is not up to you,
mm-hmm.
right? And so detach yourself from the outcome and say, I'm going to do what I can do to bring, express my love and to let these people know that we're thinking of them. And in that, you are contributing to the overall love of the mass consciousness, which is always a good thing. But no, you can't pray someone to death. People would have been doing that a long time ago, right? It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to know myself more, and I really want to know what I really feel. Not that I should do or that I want to do, what feels authentic.
Okay, so what feels authentic to you? Praying, meditating, thinking good thoughts, telling people you love them. What feels good to you of those options?
Thinking thoughts, just thoughts of love.
Yeah, yeah. So in praying...
But then I feel bad because I'm attached to like, oh, well, it's not enough. Or, mm-hmm. you know, I want people to see me as somebody. Like, mm-hmm. kind of, but not really. But I still get those thoughts that I know I don't want people to view me as somebody who's cold or doesn't care. Or
okay, are you cold and do you care?
I definitely care, but I feel sometimes that I give off... the cold, like I think sometimes I perceive other people's perceiving me as detached and cold.
Right. Sometimes. So it doesn't matter what they're perceiving because you can't know that. You can only know how you perceive them to perceive you. So you perceive them to perceive you as being cold, which means you think you're cold.
Now, yeah, I do.
Right. But so you think you're cold. Now in that idea that you're cold, is that a bad thing? Would you rather be warm?
It doesn't feel like it. For me, the cold feeling feels more like just neutral.
Neutral. Yeah. Okay, so you're neutral to it, which is excellent. You want to be neutral to it because how are you to know what should happen, right?
Exactly.
So send love, and love is acceptance of whatever happens. Now, other people will say, you know, this is a bad thing. This should never have happened. How could we have stopped it from happening? How can we cure it? How can we do all this? And that is based in fear. If there was no fear, you would accept it. You would accept it. If, you know, in a broader sense of things, you would understand that everything is happening perfectly. But in the limited, narrow, in your face, this is my life kind of way, you think, things are good and things are bad. And you work to see more things as good, but there's certain things you'll never think as good. And that's fine. But if from a more detached level, you can look, say, at nature. And you can say that every year, house cats kill 1 billion birds. Okay? And you can say, all right, well, that's just what it is, isn't it? But if you see a cat killing a bird in your neighborhood, you might think that cat's wrong, right?
Yeah.
But this is a system. And in the system, from a broad enough viewpoint, you can understand how everything works perfectly. And from the broader viewpoint of non-physical, this seems serious, but everything is happening for the people based on what they came to experience.
Yeah.
From the non-physical, you'll see it perfectly. From your perception as going through life, you're going to see it as really, really intense, serious stuff, which is good because you wanted to come here to feel these intense things.
Yeah.
Right? You wanted things to seem serious. You wanted life to seem important. Right? And it does, and it is important, and it is serious, and you want to make a contribution. But your contribution has to be in the execution and expression of love, pure love. And if you can make things easier for people, and you're inspired to do that, then that's wonderful. And any way you decide to do it is right. Yeah. And you are not cold, you're neutral.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're not cold, you're allowing, you're accepting. Being warm would be controlling in this case, wouldn't it? You're trying to control how people perceive you. And so you might, go over the top in this expression of love in order to get them to think of you, not in order to really be of any true benefit.
I definitely just want to respond in the most in the way that I feel most inspired.
In the most authentic way you can.
Yeah.
Very good. Excellent.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to chime in?
I really enjoyed your answer to or your dialogue with Kyla. Her and I have had some conversations about that because we seem to share some of the same experiences about bills. And from my perspective, or what I imagined it was, if we have created all these beliefs around due dates and bills, and I thought, why can't we just have different? Why can't I just create new beliefs?
Yeah, you can.
It's like, bills are not important. Like, why pay it?
Yeah. So you can believe, too, that you're 6'5" and blonde. Why not? Right? But your beliefs are your beliefs. Yeah. Yeah. So you have the belief that bills should be paid on time, that a responsible person pays their bills, that this and that, right? And that there's consequences to paying bills, and that you have a credit rating, and what people will think about you if you don't pay your bills, and blah 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 blah. So you have those beliefs, right? Now you can soften them, but you're never going to get rid of them. They're going to be there at some extent, and you can say, "Oh, I can pay it a day late. That's not going to kill anybody, right? No one's going to die if I pay it a day late." Oh, you just lowered the intensity of one belief, and you can lower it and lower it and lower it and lower it to a certain point, and then bumps up against other beliefs. Or you can say, let's reduce the stress in my life by handling this fear right now.
Yeah.
No.
No, and I have been playing with gotten more comfortable. Before, I feel like I would start sweating when I thought of the idea of being gracious over bills. That was like, ugh. But now it feels a little bit more comfortable when I'm actually sending money somewhere to be like, oh, I'm so happy I have this money. I'm so happy to pay this bill or whatever it may be. It feels a little bit better.
Okay, here's one thing. You're happy to pay the bill because you feel relief.
Yes.
And because you've been anxious, fearing. Now you feel relief. But flip that over. Give us a bill that you pay.
Rent.
Okay. Thank you for this wonderful environment that I get to live in.
Yes.
I think of all the other places people live on the earth right now. This is in the top 5% of all dwellings on earth right now. Look at the city where I live. look at how easy everything is. I don't have to worry about where I sleep at night.
Yeah.
I am so appreciative for living in this place. I'm not thinking of the mansion that I could be having. I'm thinking of how wonderful and beautiful this place is. This is everything I need right now. It suits me perfectly. It's a perfect match to my vibration. When my vibration is different, I'll live in a different place. But right now, it's a perfect match. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Look at me, what I created. It's amazing that I created living in this town, living in this country, living in this environment. Look how new this is. Look how everything works. Isn't this fantastic? Look how there's a place to keep food cold. There's a place to cook food right here in this building.
Yeah.
There's a bathroom in this building. This is amazing. Okay. People would kill just a vacation in this thing.
Yeah. I like that. I've been playing with that about a lot of things.
Every bill you have. Do you have a cable bill?
Do credit card debt now.
Credit card. This gives me the freedom to do all those fun things that I did. This is incredible. I can't believe it. This is an amazing thing. I can just don't even have to have the money on me. If I don't have it right now, I can just use this and worry about it later. It's fantastic. It's pure freedom. It's amazing. People would just give anything if they could have a credit card just to use for a week. Nope. Cable. I can't believe I get to watch this stuff. Internet. I can't believe I get to have these conversations with infinite intelligence. Anything you could think of.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. I've been doing that with the heat, too. Like, thank you for the heat. I love it. I get to go in the AC and go in the heat, go in the AC, go in the heat. Then winter will be here. So I get that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get to enjoy the warmth of this time of the year. Enjoy the coolness of a later time of the year. Enjoy the change. Enjoy every perspective-altering season that you come into contact with.
Yes.
Yeah. You didn't come here to live the same thing over and over. You came here for change. You're changing constantly, and so is everything else.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the past, I used to see, when I would be in the heat, I used to think, global warming, we're all going to burn. It's going, everything's going to be destroyed.
Yeah. But that is an approach to life that is not empowering. It's limiting. And you're welcome to it, but how does it feel? It feels pretty awful, pretty scary, right?
Yeah.
And if you adopt a new approach to life where this is wonderful, this, I am so grateful for this. This is something to appreciate. That feels inherently better to you because it's in alignment with who you really are. That's why it feels good. That's the only reason it feels good. It feels good because it's aligned with how your inner self is viewing your life. Whereas the old approach to life doesn't feel good because it isn't aligned with the powers of the universe and it's not moving you towards where you want to go. That's the reason. It feels good. In feeling good, you are naturally leveraging universal forces as you intended prior to your birth. Everything is working out. This is a approach of complete acceptance and non-resistance. Imagine that. This is all this is. Approach life of complete acceptance. A complete acceptance of the house you're living in now. The conditions that exist now. Complete acceptance. And if you don't completely accept it, guess what? It becomes more intense until you do accept it. It becomes more and more and more intense. Right?
Yeah.
If you keep thinking things should be different, things should be different, I should be different. I should have more money. I should have fewer bills. I should have a better place to live. I should have this and this and this and this that doesn't exist right now. And until I get those things, until Christmas morning arrives, I'm going to be miserable. I'm going to be only happy when things come as I expect them to come. Well, then you're just going to live a miserable life that has to align with your misery. It never can change. But if you say, this is great, this is great, this is great, guess what? Things get better and better and better and better because they have to align with your new approach to life. That's what physical reality is. Not only does it feel better, but it actually, in your perspective, is better. It will always be better. Yeah. Or it'll always be worse, right? If you are holding on to the old approach to life of complaining, 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 well, then your reality has to correspond to your approach. It can't be different. And you can see this in many other people.
Yes. In myself, yeah.
Take note of your Facebook feed.
Yeah.
Your Facebook feed is a representation of how you see life. And you can look at someone else's feed and see that there's complaining, bitching, negativity, bad things happening. And you can look at another person's feed and say, nice quotes, here's something inspiring, here's something educational, here's something interesting, here's something new technology that's come along, here's even an ad that corresponds to who they really are, right? You can, your Facebook feed is a reflection of your state of being right now. What's on your feed?
Mostly stories about puppies.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Those are the best ones.
Yeah.
There's more puppies now. Did you notice that?
I do.
Ever before in existence. I do. And more varieties of puppy. And more dogs.
And in grocery stores.
And more grocery stores. And more
options. They're in grocery stores.
Puppies are in grocery stores?
Yes. You can take them into stores a lot now. Yes. It's amazing.
Oh, we thought you meant to purchase because they are delicious.
Best frozen.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Joshua. Thank you.
Well, this has been the most wonderful, inspiring, empowering, conscious creating conversation in the history of eternity. And we are thankful for you drawing us forward to be a part of that. And we love interacting with you. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.